Blog Talk Radio.
Still a stand on the other hand. Take a chance if you understand. Make a change now if you can.
Come to my side of the world. Share the world, share the love.
Feel a beat from hinterland. Say a prayer from Neverland. In your heart you can understand. Take your place in the motherland. Oh yeah. Another land, making peace stretching out a hand. Feel the wheel pass from man to man, man to man, 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 man to man, man, man. Salutation and salvation. Take your place in the motherland. Light a light for motherland. Still a stand on the other hand. Take a change if you understand. Make a change now if you can.
Come to my side of the world. Share the word, share the love.
Hey, hey, you are tuned into EOTMRadio.com. I'm Carla B, and you're vibrating to the E-Buzz. Welcome, welcome to EOTMRadio.com. I am actually extremely, extremely excited to be back on air with you all once again for a very special segment of the E-Buzz. E-Buzz, in conjunction with Universal Wave, a new series of shows on EOTMRadio.com, dedicated to those of us, those of you who are awakening and realizing there is something more to who we are, and that humanity as a whole has the ability to completely transform itself. It's not readily apparent to most, but it's clearly there. It's subtle yet obvious at the same time. Knowledge of this change or shift in consciousness is experimental. It appears in the forms of social trends and changes, but once someone crosses that threshold of awakening, they're already living in that reality, that new reality. To what degree it affects their lifestyle will, of course, vary from person to person, but change they will, as will the lives they in turn affect. and friends so the beautiful story unfolds. And all that being said, with the warmest welcome from the U.S. to the U.K., I am privileged to have the opportunity to speak with and welcome at this time Ugandan Princess, former People's Voice presenter, beautiful soul, Elizabeth Senende. Welcome to EOTM Radio.
Hello. Hello. Hi, Carla. Hello. Hi, everyone.
It's a pleasure. I'm so happy that we're able to speak today.
Oh, Carla. Oh, my God. I'm so excited to be able to speak with you. And that song that you played just before, I was not expecting that to come on. And as soon as it came on, I was like, oh, my God, I know this song. And I stood up and started dancing around my living room. But then I was like, okay, I don't want to be out of breath when I start the interview. So I had to sit down and pace myself. But wow, what an introduction with that song. And everything that you said, I totally agree. I mean, it's such a special time at the moment. I'm really excited about this interview. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, of course. Thanks for being on. And that song, I actually saw it. You placed it on your Facebook page yesterday. And I said, let me take a listen, because I was actually looking for songs to play on this show, you know, kind of related to you.
Yeah.
And I listened to that song, and I actually fell in love with it. I'm like, the Ganda Boys. I had never heard of them.
Yeah.
A beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song, and I just had to play it.
Yeah, the Ganda Boys, they just recently finished their album called Becky Simba. And I met the Ganda Boys back when I was working at the People's Voice. And they're such a talented bunch of men, and their music inspires me all the time. And this album is just like, it's incredible for me. I've been listening to it for hours, so it's great to hear it. And I encourage anyone that loves this kind of music or African music, African fusion, to definitely check it out, because it's definitely worth it.
It is. I agree. I was listening to it last night, and it was on repeat. And
yeah.
I just listened to the words. Just listen to the words. So yeah, I'm definitely gonna purchase the album myself today, and I do encourage everyone as well to, if it's your type of music, check it out. Check out the Ganda Boys. Elizabeth, I want please share with our listeners around the world a little about you and the message you have for humanity.
Well, the work that I've been doing for a while, I suppose, has been relatively most in the health industry. The work that I did publicly, like from the People's Voice and the People's Health Show, most of my interest has been about the way that the world works, about the soul of the world, that you can say. I come from a Christian upbringing, and at some point I wanted to understand more about the world around us and things that I wasn't really getting from the Bible. And so I felt like alchemy was kind of the next natural step for me. I had experienced things like sleep paralysis, which science couldn't really explain, but Christianity couldn't really give me answers for. So I kind of got stuck in this space in between science and religion, where I needed to create like a marriage. And I guess that's where I happened to fall into alchemy.
Wow.
So for me, from what I've been, let's say, observing, a lot of things that we see going on in the news and things like that is quite terrifying. But the more that I have learned about what a person goes through, what a body goes through, what a planet has to go through, is the more that I see hopeful signs around us, the more that I see that great things are happening, just like you were speaking in the beginning. I'm very optimistic about this time. I'm very glad to be here in this time and to share this with everyone.
Wow, me too. I couldn't have said that better myself. There is a lot of things that we're seeing day to day on the news and reading in the papers, and it all seems very, you know, chaotic, and there is chaos. But I do believe that there's always a silver lining at the end of everything, and I'm definitely excited, and I'm optimistic, and I'm excited to be living in this time as well. So thank you. Thanks for that. Thanks for sharing that. There's so many things in what you just said that I want to like grab something out and you know, take it in and just go on a tangent with questions. But I kind of want to stay on topic a little bit, but I do want to come back to what you spoke of about, like, sleep paralysis, because that's something that I've experienced, all my life. But before we go there, I want to talk about your royal lineage. You are a Ugandan princess. How was it growing up for you?
Okay, well, I was born in East Africa, and in Uganda there are five kingdoms. There is the Buganda Kingdom, the Bunyoro, the Yankole, the Toro, and the Busoga. So the Buganda Kingdom is the biggest of them all, and Uganda, the country, was actually named after the Buganda Kingdom. But during the time when Idi Amin was about, I won't go into that because it's a lot of information, but during that time, a lot of people were exiled from the country. A lot of Indians had to leave the country, and along with them were a lot of people from the Buganda royal family, because they were blamed for allowing a lot of things to, let's say, get out of hand with a lot of foreigners coming in and being able to work and things like that. A lot of political stuff. So my family and even the king at that time, they all ended up coming here to the UK, to London, where I am now. And so I came here when I was about 3 years old, and I've grown up in London ever since. And when I first came here, I couldn't speak English, but so my mom would just speak to us in English so that we would learn how to speak English. But when I would go to school, sometimes I felt I didn't always feel confident because I didn't speak the same language as everyone else. And at the same time, we had come to Southall, and a lot of people in Southall, especially at the time, are of Indian descent. And we were like the only African family in a school of, let's say, a lot of Indian people. And a lot of them came from Uganda as well. So it was like we were all family anyway, because a lot of my friends, their parents were also born in Uganda. So it was like family, but there was also the difference between the languages that we spoke and also the language here in the UK. So as a child, I found that when I went to, especially dancing or acting without language so much, mm-hmm. and with music, I found that I was able to communicate with everyone in a language that didn't require words. So it was then at a young age that I began to become sensitive to energy, because I felt that dance and movement animation was something that we all understood no matter what language you spoke. So from an early age, that became important to me, being able to dance and feel energy. And it almost became like a safe haven. So that's something that I always wanted to develop and grow. But as a Ugandan princess growing up in the UK, I found that initially when I got here, there was, I would say it was the introduction to colorism in a sense, because a lot of the black people here in the UK were from the Caribbean, and so a few of them were from Africa. So I remember a lot as a young child, I wouldn't talk about my heritage. I wouldn't talk about my royal lineage or anything like that because, if you're a princess, then where's your crown, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're a princess, then why do you live in just a house? Why have you not got a palace and all of that? And so it seemed to be like the cool thing would be to be what black culture was here, which was kind of influenced, I'd say, mostly by Caribbean culture. So when I was young, it seemed very cool to pretend that you were from the Caribbean, because that was the culture mostly over here. And it took some time before I was able to actually embrace my roots and my own culture and the things that make me who I am today, and the things that has made me who I am throughout my life. And a lot of the time I tried to fight who I am, but then in time I learned to accept it, and in accepting myself I feel that everyone else began to accept me too. So it has been a challenge, but I believe that the way that I that I went forward into the challenge positively, that I've been able to make the best of my situation. And so I've never felt disadvantaged, although a lot of people perhaps might have felt that way. I felt that as long as you put your best foot forward and you're always looking at your blessings and knowing that there is always a chance for you to do better if you put the hard work into it, and if you have faith also. I did say that I left Christianity, but faith has always been a big part of my life and still is. And
yes.
I believe that when you live in faith, then you find that there is just a path that is paved for you. And then when you're in tune with that, then all the kind of normal things that would usually get in your way may not get in your way. So
I agree.
That has been my
beautiful story. You know, there's so much to that, to that statement as well. And just, you know, gravitating and appreciating, you know, where we come from and understanding our heritage is really important. And I think we all go through that same type of growing. And not to say that everybody has royal lineage, but I definitely can relate to that. I definitely can. And your words on movement and dance, I think that's really profound. I think that our kids, especially today, really need to understand the importance of movement, you know, because that's like the sound wave of the universe. And a lot of our children today, you see them just constantly sitting down in front of a TV with the video game controller in their hand, and they're missing out on that. So I do believe that we must get back. You know, and our kids need to get back out, get out there and get into the park and do some cartwheels and things like that.
Definitely. And, you know, even I'm 29 now, but there is still so much that I am learning about my own culture and about my royal lineage and about the kingdom and about Kintu and Nambi, which I spoke about in a previous interview when a lot of the history has been forgotten or hidden or wiped out, but I found that you can find traces of our history all over the globe in different people, in different ethnics, in different cultures, mythology, and they just go under different names. So, I mean, maybe we could talk about that a bit later, but I found that to be really interesting. A lot of our information has either been hidden or it's been tucked away and then all the names have been changed and, you know, the gods are still alive, but we think of it as mythology, you know?
Yes, and we'll definitely touch on that. I know initially, you know, me coming into, I guess, a place where I was able to discover you, this happened about a year ago. I actually stumbled across an interview you did with Miles Johnston of the Abesis Project. Unveiled TOWA, T-O-W-A, and the whole initiative that it definitely touched my heart. And I actually started following you after that interview because it was so amazing. And I thought the whole idea of it was beautiful. Can you share a little about TOWA for our listeners? Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Okay, no problem. So TOWA, in the interview that I did, I explained a bit about TOWA, about its vibration, about what the word means in different cultures and in different languages. And TOWA basically, it holds a vibration. Numerologically, it holds a vibration of 5. It represents the shape of the Ankh. It's basically building blocks that we use in order to create to create a new frequency that we need in order to function in the reality that we want. I explained that a lot of the things that we try to do beneficial for humanity don't always come off or they don't work despite all of our efforts. And it's because we are at the moment still in a vibration that is not basically going to help the efforts that we put in to grow. And I said it's kind of like trying to spark a fire at the bottom of the ocean. First, you have to come out of the ocean in order to spark that fire, and then you'd be able to do it effortlessly. But if you insisted so much on doing it at the bottom of the ocean, you'd have to have all kinds of instruments, and perhaps only scientists can do it, because, you know, it's not something that can easily be done. But Torah is about changing the frequencies. So when we chant Torah and we hold the intentions and the visions of the world that we want, we together put down the building blocks in order to create a better frequency so that the things that we do work and work effortlessly. And Torah is one way, of course, of doing that. The same way that doing breathing exercises or positive affirmations or doing exercises every day is one way of getting your body to its best health. So there are many ways of doing so, but Torah is very important because it's about having an overall frequency from which we can play. It's like having that solid foundation that we can build upon.
Yes, yes, that's beautiful. Torah. It's amazing. And how's that going?
In the last interview, I'm sure you might have noticed that I was a bit hesitant in giving all of my information because I believed it wasn't something that I wanted to force down people's throat or say to people, this is something that you have to do.
Yeah.
As I live mostly in faith, I feel that the same way almost found me, monatomic elements that we'll talk about, is the same way that I feel Torah will reach the right people at the right time with the best intentions, because it's something that I believe should be taken, should be cared for. It's a word that should be looked after. It's something that should be done when you have peace in your heart, you know. So it's a thing that I think should be abused or just discarded or just put on a shelf like it's a byproduct. I definitely think that Torah might take its time to get into the mass consciousness, but the people that have been using it, the people that have been saying it, I'm pretty sure that they have seen benefits in their lives. It's been a year now since I've began chanting the Torah, and so much has happened that I can't believe that this is my life. So, So I believe that it's only going to grow and people are only going to become wiser and understand more about how it works. There was a video on YouTube that I had mentioned the last time, which was the people that are listening, if you typed in Qigong chant in YouTube, you should find a video where this woman is lying on a bed and she has like a tumor in her abdomen. And there were three men standing around her, and they have the tumor on the camera, so you can see the tumor as the men are standing around her, and they are chanting a word that sounds like Wata. So it's similar to Toa, but it's Wata, so like W-O-T-A. And they all hold the intentions that, not that the woman is getting better, that she is already healed. So they have an intention that the woman is already healed. And then on the camera, you can actually see within 2 minutes, that tumor shrinks and it completely disappears. And this is just by intention. So people can see from looking at that video that if enough of us around the world held an intention, we can create the most amazing changes.
Yes.
People are just starting to understand. The quantum field is just starting to understand, you know. So, Toa has a very long history. I said in the beginning, there was the word, but how I initially came across Torah from learning about a forest in Uganda called Torah. And the reason why I came across this word Torah in this forest is because it's believed that Kintu, who was the first man on earth, it's believed that he had disappeared into a forest called Torah and that he never died, that he never passed away, and that he will come back again. So this is how I first came across that word, and then trying to find out what it meant in other languages, and in Japanese, I think it is. I believe it means something like eternity or infinite. So So I found that to be really interesting. And then, again, if people want more information on this, I suggest you check out the video. Otherwise, I'll be going over a lot of different
right.
things.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, thanks for that. I want to take a really brief, and thank you so much for sharing about TOWA, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that, and I'm sure our listeners appreciate as well. We'll take a really quick commercial break. We'll come back with Elizabeth Kanende,
okay.
and we'll talk about the elixir of life. So hold tight.
Yeah. Brilliant.
The hottest next station in the nation is out now, outshining any other station. So tell a friend to tell a friend by this station. Keep your ears and eyes open like a wound and stay in tune with EOTM Radio. Is the hottest next show. All the others move over for EOTM Radio. EOTM Radio. It's the hottest next show. All the others move.
BJ, say to say, Shante, Grandma G, Run Anthony, Diva Q, BJ, MI sub T, do what it do.
BOTM Radio is the hottest net show. All the others move over for BOTM.
Welcome back to the eBuzz. Welcome back to EOTMRadio.com. This is your girl, Carla B., and I am here with Elizabeth Kanende, and we are having an amazing, fabulous discussion on so many things, and it's already 30 minutes into the interview, and I can't believe it. Where has the time gone?
Oh, already? Wow.
Yes. So before the break, we kind of teased the listeners a little bit. Talking about the elixir of life, alchemy and monatomic gold, and this
yep.
is something that you have delved into completely. And so I want to know, how did you get interested in this?
Oh, well, how did I get into it? Okay, well, my son, when he was born, my first son, I was presented with like 101 vaccinations. Okay, not that many, but I was presented with a bunch of vaccinations, and I was like, really? Like, all of this for, like, one little kid, you know, like a baby?
Yeah.
And I didn't think that it was necessary. And it didn't sit well with me straight away, so I wanted to find an alternative. When I went to speak to the doctor about it, I said that it wasn't something that I liked the idea of and that I wasn't comfortable with it. And she said, it's fine, that it wasn't compulsory. And I was shocked by that because I didn't know. I wasn't actually aware that that wasn't compulsory. And, you know, I was ready to have a debate and stuff. And she said, oh, no, it's not compulsory. And I thought, do my friends know this? Like, who knows? Like, because we're not informed usually, you know, when, you know, they don't teach you this in school, like when you're going to have kids, like this is what's going to happen. And
right.
So I felt like there was a lot of information that we didn't know. And so I wanted to be able to have a good health alternative for my children if I was going to take their health into my own hands. Before that time, I had been into athletics and stuff, but health had never really been an interest of mine per se. I come from a family of health professionals. My family are all in the health industry, so my dad wanted me to also, you know, learn something in science because I was good at it in school, but it's not something I was motivated to search until my own children were born. So I first came across something called the silver. What's it called? There was a silver that people can use that they dissolve into water, and the silver particles that they drink them. And you could also do this with gold particles as well. And then I found that the particles got smaller, and I found oxysilver. And then after that, I found monatomic elements, monatomic gold, and learning what I could about it, finding out about its history, finding about how far back it went and the basic substance of it, I became completely fascinated. And I wanted to try it, but all the people that were selling it were in the US. And I realized that if I was going to buy it, on top of the places and packaging, if I really liked it, it was going to be like an expensive habit. So I wondered, you know, how is this made? So I began to research it. And I realized that if I learned how to make it myself, then I would actually save money making it myself than actually buying it, ordering it from the US all the time. And so I bought all the ingredients and all the instruments and trial and error for quite a few months where I was getting really upset, understanding, like, why am I not getting this right, and changing the salts and changing the waters. And and then eventually I got it right. But initially I would try it on my plants. My mother-in-law, she likes gardening, so I would give her some and she'd try it on her plants, and she'd be like, oh, this is wonderful, Elizabeth. Some of these fruits are blooming faster than the others, and it had different reactions with different plants. And so then I started taking it myself, and I had suffered with IBS for about 4 years, and I had been going to the GP, and they hadn't been able to help me, and I had had anxiety as well, and nothing had helped me thus far. But the day that I took Ormus, not only did my IBS disappear, but I realized that when I was going to the school run that day, I had like completely no anxiety. And my son was like, oh, can we go to the park? And I was like, yeah, that's fine. When usually I would have to plan everything before, and I'd have to get myself mentally prepared for it. And so my thinking process was completely different. And that's when I knew straight away that this was something special. And eventually I'd give it to friends and more family. And then people just started asking me for it. And so I had to turn it into a business because people just wanted some. It's not something I had planned to do. But so many people had got so much good results from it that I couldn't not offer it.
Yes. That's amazing.
So, I should probably explain a little bit about what it is for those who are hearing it for the first time. Ormus is basically free spinning atoms. So, all the substances around us, everything that exists, are atoms that have bonded in such a way to create a table, a leaf, skin. And when you break up those bonds, you end up with free spinning atoms. So I could get almost out of anything. I could take almost out of you. I could take almost out of a leaf. I could take almost out of the air, because essentially it's just atoms. The easiest way to get free spinning atoms, there are three different methods you can use. One of them is using fire, a fire method. You'd get a little bit of almost, and it would take a lot of time. Another one is using orgone energy. That one you get even smaller amounts of ormus and takes a longer time. But the fastest, most effective way that you can get ormus is via the wet method, which is what I use. And the Dead Sea has such a big concentration of ormus because ormus comes from the sea. And then that is basically you are able to extract the ormus from the Dead Sea And then once you have washed the ormus through, you are then able to consume it. And because the free spinning atoms are essentially atoms without a command, when they go into your body, they're able to work with your DNA and bond in such a way to sustain and support your own immune system, so that it can work and so that your DNA can work at the best of its ability. Ormus is basically the primordial soup from whence we all came, because in the beginning, when we all came out of the sea, there was a precipitation in the sea where all this, all the atoms, the M-state material went to the bottom of the sea. And then that's when all the creatures started to form and to come together. That's where all the intelligence came from. So ormus is not just a substance, but it's also an intelligence as well.
Amazing.
Which is why it can work the way it does in the body. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you for that. Elizabeth, share with our listeners where they could find out more about your products and connect with you online.
Okay, well, my website for my ormus and my blogs, my articles, my short stories, www.esalchemy.co.uk. That's esalchemy.co.uk. And I post on there pretty much every month. My Facebook page is Elizabeth Sininde. I am not often on the Facebook page because I'm studying for my homeopathic degree at the moment, so I have to spend a lot of time off social media doing my studies. However, there is a lot of information that I put on there, so if you want to follow my research and the information continue to give out and my short stories also, then you can go to those sites.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. And I do have Elizabeth's website on the EOTMradio.com page. So you could definitely go there. And again, her website is, www.esalchemy.co.uk. Is that a good one, Elizabeth?
Yes. Okay. That's the one.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. So I want to ask, and regarding alchemy, why is understanding alchemy paramount to living today?
Because the world is going through a process. The world itself is evolving. Mother Earth herself is evolving. So if we are to thrive in this new environment, we need to understand how it works. We need to understand how our body works, because there is a percentage of people at the moment that understand how our body and the world works, and they're controlling everything, and a lot of the time not in our best interest. So it's only when we have full knowledge of how our body works, how this frequency works, how nature works, that we can really truly begin to not only respect nature again, but respect ourselves and humanity again. And that's the only way that we can evolve. Otherwise, whatever is here that doesn't work anymore is just going to get left to the wayside, because that's not the way that the Earth is going.
Yes. And speaking of the way the Earth is going, I know that briefly I think that we were talking about, and maybe like an email form, the state of the world and... I mean, what do you see right now, the state of the world? Where do you see us going, the state of humanity?
Okay, well, for me, I see it as, well, let me give this analogy. In homeopathy, it's all about creating the balance inside of a person, of their energies, creating that vital force, getting them to their best health so that disease cannot thrive.
Yeah.
And we know that when the body is healing, there is a process that it goes through. So like if you have physical symptoms, as the body heals, sometimes those physical symptoms will get worse before they get better. Just like even when you're working out, if you're not someone that works out and then suddenly you start working out, after a couple of days of working out, you're going to find that you can barely move, your entire body is sore, you know, it's hard to sit up and do anything. You feel like, you know, your body feels basically crippled. But we know that that's basically what happens to the body before it gets stronger. So when I look around and I see all of these things kind of like erupting on the surface, you know, all the, let's say the wars or the terrorist attacks that they say and stuff like that, I know that these are all symptoms that are just coming to the surface, and they are just displaying themselves as something that needs to come out in order for us all to move on. So putting handcuffs on these people and throwing them in prison is not actually sorting out the problem, because if these symptoms are underlining, they need to come up so that we can resolve them. And that's what I see happening around us right now. That's what I feel that Mother Earth is doing. She's just purging at the moment. And around the corner from here, there's going to be a lot more knowledge out in the open. A lot more people are going to understand what's happening and be accepting of the changes. And therefore, suffering doesn't have to be so bad, because how we suffer depends on our attitudes towards it and our understanding of it. Yeah,
I definitely agree. It seems as if humanity is transforming. We're going through our own alchemical process as we speak.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing. It is. Earlier when you were talking, just getting into the whole alchemy monatomic goal, you mentioned orgone. I came across orgone about like 4 years ago, and I actually saw like one of your interviews online a couple weeks ago, where you were interviewing these amazing people out of the UK, and they were creating these beautiful orgone pieces. Mm-hmm. How exactly do you use orgone to be able to extract the ormus? Just briefly.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't extract the ormus this way, but what I understand is that a person had a pyramid of orgone, and they had a gold nugget that was underneath the pyramid, and the orgone energy was being concentrated into that gold nugget, and over a period of time, you saw a white powder start to form on the top of that nugget, and that white powder is actually the ormus, which has where the bonds have broken because of the orgone energy that's going into it.
Wow, it's amazing. That's amazing. I'm sure that's a beautiful sight to behold, just to experience that. So, Elizabeth, just to kind of backtrack a little bit, I just want to get your, we don't have that much time left, but I definitely want to get your thoughts on sleep paralysis. You mentioned that at the top of the show that, you know, you had experienced that throughout your life. Mm-hmm. And I just want to know what your thoughts are on what is sleep paralysis in your opinion?
Okay, well, the scientists say that sleep paralysis is when you wake up, but your body hasn't fully woken up. And so the dreams that you have come into your reality, and you start hallucinating into your waking state. I have been in a situation where I have been in the middle of a dream, and this demonic thing came in front of me, and I jumped out of my dream, and I was in my bed thinking, oh my God, thank God I'm out of that dream. And then the same demonic thing is standing at the bottom of my bed, and I'm like, okay, you know. So but what science says is relevant, because, you know, there is evidence to support that. But I also know that there are some things that my imagination, I didn't have the imagination to create certain things. So certain things that I saw, I couldn't say, okay, well, I just made this up. Because when, at that age, my thoughts about ghosts, they were like, you know, people with white blankets over their head and around like looking spooky. I had never ever thought of a shadow being or like shadow people or, you know, these the kind of entities that I was seeing. My imagination couldn't create that. And then after some time, I found out that people all over the world were not only experiencing sleep paralysis, but they were experiencing the same entities. Like the old hag, which I experienced, and all cultures all over the world have spoken about this. So I began to think that maybe we are not all mass hallucinating the same thing.
Right.
We are perceiving something that's actually there. And there actually came a period of time when I was walking up the stairs to my bedroom and I was completely awake, and then I saw a shadow being at the on the top landing, and the shadow being looked as surprised that I could see it as I was that it was there.
Right.
And we both kind of froze and looked at each other, and then its hand went up. I didn't know if it was going to wave or try and grab me. I didn't stick around to find out.
Yeah.
But that's when I, you know, that was another pointer to me that these experiences that you're happening, they're not just hallucinations from the dream world. So the more I found out about sleep paralysis, the more I was informed, the more knowledgeable I was about it. So the last time it happened to me, I think there was like about 5 demons that came into the house and pinned me down, and I was afraid. And as a mom, I wanted to protect my son, but I realized that he couldn't even see any of these demons that I was seeing, and they weren't even taking notice of him. And then I realized, oh, this is sleep paralysis. I've been experiencing this. And then suddenly the researcher, the scientist in me became very curious, and I was like, oh, wow, is this what the Bible talks about when it talks about demons? And I was like, is this what demons look like? And then suddenly I wanted to know, like, what is it like to be a demon? Do you have families? Do you have a house?
Right.
Do you have a lifestyle? What are your hobbies? So I suddenly began to ask all these questions, like, oh, my God, like, you guys are, like, actual demons? And then suddenly it's like they backed off as if I was, like, on fire. And then they rushed out the front door and they slammed the front door, and I never had sleep paralysis since.
Wow.
And my response to that was, okay, so the minute I decide that I want to play, you guys want to like run away.
Right.
And it's like, because before that I had been advised to call out for Jesus, you know, and I had done this many times. Times it did work, times it didn't, but I still had that fear. I would still ask God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? But the last time it happened, because I was wise and I knew what was going on, suddenly I was empowered. And then I was like, well, I actually know that you can't kill me, because this has happened loads of times before, and each time you haven't killed me. So now I'm just curious as to why you do it and, like, what else you guys do. So that was the moment where I think I empowered myself and they could no longer control me with fear. So I believe that they would come to me and other people like myself in order to feed off of their fear. And then when I watched the movie Monsters, Inc., the animation, I was like, oh, my God, that's sleep paralysis. That's what it is. So to me, that was just them putting it out there in, like, in plain view for us all to see that this is how it works, and that they store our fear, our energy, and they use that, you know. So I began to stop after a while. I'll say over the past few years now, I began to stop being afraid of that so much and to start to understand it as forms of life. So, so the notion of evil now to me is not what it used to be.
Yes, that's amazing, that story. And I've had a recurring childhood dream of constantly being chased by these evil, like shadow people. And recently, about maybe a year ago, I just going through some different like past life regressions and a lot of different sessions with my hypnotherapist. She told me, she said, next time you see thinking your dreams, don't run, just stop, turn around. And let them know that you're not afraid. And I did that, and that definitely worked. And I've experienced it, whereas before, even because my background is, my upbringing is Christianity as well. And I was told to say, you know, the blood of Jesus covers me. And sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But I think that the main thing is the fear thing, just overcoming it. And I've understood from then to today that fear is just false expectations appearing real. It's not, you know, fear is, you know, it's an illusion of sorts. You have to face it, and it definitely goes away. So thanks for sharing your story. That definitely brought, joy to my ear just listening to that as well, because it definitely correlated with mine as well. So thank you again.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Elizabeth, we have about 9 minutes, but I want to ask you some basic questions, because I just want to know. I want to know what you're reading right now. Any good books?
Oh, well, at the moment, because I've just started studying, but even if you're not into health or homeopathy, there is this book called Science of Homeopathy by a man called George Vitalkis, and he's an amazing homeopathist, and he has videos on YouTube as well. And just listening to some of his videos, you can get so inspired because he has such great understanding of the world and how it works. And this book, I've only just started reading the first few pages, and I know that, you know, I had to put it down because I have an assignment to do, but I know that once I pick it up, I'm not going to put it down because it's that captivating to me, and it has so much relevance in today's day and age. There is a man that said, oh, gosh, I've forgotten his name. That's not good. But he said that quantum physics, homeopathy today is like what quantum physics was to Newtonian sciences. So I also understand that, you know, with alchemy, there is as above, so below. So the more we understand about the body and about how the body works is the more that we can understand about the world and how the world works. So I definitely believe that right now is a very important time, especially with the coming of homeopathy. But Science of Homeopathy by George Vitalkis, I would definitely recommend that people have a look at that.
Yes, yes. Thanks for that. I definitely will. I definitely will. I'm all about, you know, that. And alternative medicines is a beautiful thing. You definitely have to dabble in that.
Yeah, but it also explains so much about the nature of our reality as well, and, you know, aside from just the health side. So to those who are thinking, you know, I'm not very into health research, and it's not just about that. I would definitely recommend seeing it, yeah.
Yes, yes. And what is the nature of reality? That's a great question. Directly to you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what is the nature of reality? I know that's a long question, and that could take, you know,
take a whole interview. Yeah.
Yeah, but just briefly, because that sentence right there has been in the back of my mind like every night. What is the nature of reality?
Okay, well, for me, I would say, from my perspective, the nature of reality is about testing yourself, understanding the true purpose of the lessons that you come across in life. I think that there are so many things that we don't see or we don't notice because we are distracted by things that don't mean as much or temporary highs, let's say. I think that the meaning of life is noticing the things that we are distracted from usually. I believe that the test is really noticing the beauty in the things that you wouldn't normally see, because it's when you can see the beauty and the blessings that you can feel the gratitude and feel that overwhelming sense of abundance. And once you feel that overwhelming sense of abundance, your life is just so much better. You're in love with life. You essentially bring heaven into your world. So I believe that that's the meaning of life, is understanding that everything is beautiful in its own way and learning to see that beauty. And even when, you know, things are a bit rough, there is beauty in that as well. And once you can understand that, again, the suffering is not bad. There is reward at the end of that, you know?
Yes, yes.
So
I love it.
I would say that's my opinion.
I like that. I do. Any last words for our listeners? Anything you want to leave us with, Elizabeth?
I guess I could leave you with, but there was something a man named Joseph Campbell said about the hero. He talked about the hero's journey, and I liked what he said about the hero's journey, because he says that every hero has to go through a cycle, a going and a return, a death and a rebirth, and it's a fundamental necessary because finding the source of life brings you to the fuller, richer condition. And I believe that the earth is going through that, and the earth is taking that psychological journey, and the internet of this day and age, this new network connection, is like the earth's new nervous system and its new way of connecting and being able to communicate with its cells more speedily and, you know, effortlessly. And I definitely believe that there's a big evolution here, and that the world is going through its hero cycle. And, you know, it's only we don't want things to go back to the heavenly state it was. We want things to evolve, to be better then. Because if things were perfect the way that they were, they would have stayed that way.
Yeah.
And so we know that there is no perfection. There is only greatness, and you can only just keep getting better. So I believe that that's what we're going through. And I believe that we can all just come together and, you know that we are all in this together, and try and enjoy the journey as much as possible.
Yes, well said. You are greatness. You are greatness. You are greatness, Elizabeth.
And
thank you so much.
And so are you, Carla. So are you. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Elizabeth. And you all can visit Elizabeth online to learn more about her message to humanity. Check her out at www.esalchemy.co.uk. And we're going to round this show off with a little bit of the Ganda Boys.
Oh, fantastic.
Until next time, have a great day, everybody.
Bye.
Motherland, still a stand on the other hand. Take a chance if you understand. Make a change now if you can.
Come to my side of the world. Share the world, share the love.
Feel a beat from hinterland. Say a prayer from Neverland. In your heart, you can understand. Take your place in the motherland. Oh, yeah. As we dream of another land, making peace stretching out our hand. Feel the wheel pass from man to man, man to man, 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 man to man, 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 man. Salutation and salvation. Take your place in the motherland. Light a light for motherland. Still a stand on the other hand. Take a change if you understand. Make a change now if you can.
Come to my side of the world. Share the word, share the love.
Sabaka tonda kumpe.